From the home of the Codebreakers and the birthplace of modern computing, this is the Bletchley Park podcast.
This is MC Fontaine welcoming you to another Bletchley Park podcast extra. In the last episode of the podcast, we gave you a small flavour of the third Enigma challenge that was held in March. For 4 days, GCHQ's historical section were based at the Big Bang Fair at London's Excel Centre, sending Enigma-coded messages for the bomb rebuild team to try and crack back at Bletchley Park. On the Friday, Nick Coffer of BBC Three Counties Radio presented his afternoon show from Block B at Bletchley Park, and that's what we'll be sharing with you over the next two extras episodes.
Love afternoons.
Love Nick Coffer.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
And welcome to Bletchley Park live today. We're code breaking in Bletchley Park. I've never been to Bletchley Park. Very much looking forward to spending my afternoon here this afternoon and bringing it to life for you. I've heard about it so much. It's my first ever visit. I've had a fascinating hour already. I'm going to be code breaking. It's the Enigma code breaking challenge today. We've also got music from the 1950s. Well, they're actually from 2013, but the Three Bells are going to be singing live for us. And of course, with it being comic relief, we'll be looking ahead to all the comic relief events happening across the three counties today. 3 hours live from the brilliant Bletchley Park with me, Nick Coffer. I have to say, I've been so looking forward to doing this programme today because Bletchley Park, it's in our minds, it's in our consciousness. We talk about it so much here on BBC Three Counties Radio, and yet I didn't really have any idea of how it looked and how it works, and also how this whole code-breaking thing works as well. So today I'm going to be trying to simplify the notion of code-breaking to you, bringing all the colour of Bletchley Park. And it is really a park. If you walk around, there's a beautiful lake with some nice ducks and swans on it. There's the mansion house on the far side, and then the sprawl of buildings that make up the code-breaking, the heartbeat of Bletchley Park, the huts and the buildings. I'm currently in Block B, which is where they house a large part of the museum here at Bletchley Park. I went for a walk this morning, saw the huts, and they really are huts. They're wooden, they're slightly dilapidated, and that's another important aspect of Bletchley Park, the refurbishment, the rebuilding of Bletchley Park. And lest we forget, without Bletchley Park, it's fair to say we may not have won the Second World War. And this is a park, it's a tourist attraction that is right in the heart of the three counties, right on a patch in Bletchley, which is just outside Milton Keynes. Not only are we going to be bringing you all the colour of Bletchley Park, but it's Comic Relief Day as well, so we'll be touching on the funnier side of life today on this all-important Comic Relief Day. And as always with my shows when I come from across the three counties, we'll have lots of great music for you, including today, the Three Bells. I had them in my studio 4 or 5 months ago. They are three lovely young ladies who sing perfect harmonies, a bit like the Andrews sisters used to back in the 1950s, and they're going to be singing live for us today. So lots still to come between now and 3 o'clock. This is great. I'm standing right next to the bomb machine, the decoding machine, which hopefully we're going to whir up in a moment. They've been solving Enigma codes at Bletchley Park since the early 1900s, and they haven't stopped yet. Their team here at Bletchley Park are linking up with people in London at the Excel Centre to try and decipher a code, just as they did during the war. Here to tell me more is Paul Keller. First of all, Paul, what a machine this is. Allow me just to describe it briefly. It's just lots and lots of cogs and wheels. It looks like the most elaborate safe to a bank vault you've ever seen.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? It was a wonderful machine. It was built by a team of geniuses in World War II. By the end of the war, they had 200 of these things all whirring away. It was a code-breaking factory. They were breaking the codes for all the various groups every day in about 3 or 4 hours. We were reading messages quite often before the people they were meant for were decoding them themselves.
One of my challenges today is that I've heard so much about Bletchley Park, and even now, even though I've been here for an hour and I've walked around, I still don't quite understand it. And I think that a lot of people listening will feel the same. What were you decoding? Whose messages were you decoding?
What they were decoding, there were about 30 different networks, and we had to get the key of the day off of each network. And what Turing invented was the idea that there's always somebody in a network who sends the same message every day, bless him. And he, from that approach, we would derive a crib, which was a guess at what that message was. We would then use the bomb to get the settings of the day, the whole day, just to crack that one rather dull message.
And these were messages coming from the Germans?
Yes, they were intercepted by the Y stations, who were just writing down meaningless groups of five-letter codes. Okay, here's an example page. And we've intercepted an identical crib message from the GCHQ people in London today. We've guessed the contents of that message. We have made a crib based on that. And just before you went on air, we have managed to crack the code of their code of today. Now we have a team here decoding the messages live during the rest of the day.
Hence the loud round of applause that went up just at 12 o'clock here. So I'm looking here at the WT red form, and the code looks like, well, I wouldn't know where to start. Can I announce the code on
air?
Please don't shoot me. EYTHFVZOXJWEYC I'm not going to do the whole thing. Not easy to decipher.
Correct. And if you're sat in front of an enigma, as these people here are, it's terrifying. But we guessed that the message was something like GCHQ, Big Bang, and the date. So based on that, we put together a pattern of what the machine might have been set to, and what the bomb here does, exactly as it did all those years ago when it mattered, is come up with possible settings of the machine at that time.
I would have thought the message should have been watch out for that Nick Coffer. He's coming down today at lunchtime. I tell you what, should we turn this machine on? Absolutely beautiful machine. I think it's going to be quite noisy. Who have we got here? What's your name, sorry?
Tony.
Tony, you press the button. We're going to load up the Turing bomb machine. It's being rebuilt as part of the rebuilding project. And do you know what? It is a thing of some considerable beauty. It's very, very symmetrical. I would say there are about 13 cogs along by 9 down, so the best part of 100, 120 cogs. They're all working in perfect unison, in symmetry, and they're ticking around all the numbers, all the letters. And what exactly is the machine doing here?
What it's doing is it is rejecting all the positions that were not the right answer. This was Turing's genius again. As the machine keeps running, it's saying, no, that can't be the answer, this is the answer. Eventually it will stop and say, this might be the setting of the day. And at that point, another mechanism, which again we've recreated, gets the whole of the rest of the settings from that possible stop.
I think the bit that's surprising me the most in my time here this morning and now looking at this beautiful beast of a machine is quite how advanced this was for 1939. This machine would not look out of place today in 2013.
You're absolutely right. The reason I myself got involved was about 10 years ago. The best desktop you could buy was doing in this thing taking 12 minutes. The best desktop was taking 12 hours. Okay, 60 years after the war, this thing was still outperforming an ordinary computer. Okay, about now you can just about keep up. They were just years ahead of their time. They were geniuses. There is no other word you can use for them.
I think you're right. They were absolutely geniuses. It is phenomenal work, and not only were they geniuses, they were heroes. We'll be hearing a little bit later on in this program about how many people worked at the best part of 10,000 people at any one time during the war, cracking the codes, cracking the messages that enabled the British Army to know where they needed to be, and perhaps most importantly, where they needed not to be in the Second World War effort. Live today from Bletchley Park. We're going to be looking at the history of Bletchley throughout my programme today, plus comic relief as well, and live music from the very, very lovely Three Bells. They're an Andrew Sisters type doo-wop band. They sing beautifully, they sing a cappella, and they're going to be singing live for us today. From Bletchley Park today, quite a busy Bletchley Park. Obviously, it is a major tourist attraction. There are a number of people coming through on their guided tours, and lots of school children here today as well, taking part in this big Enigma challenge. They're solving the Enigma codes that are being sent from Excel. And I have to say, just walking around, looking at the beauty of this bomb machine, the phrase that comes to mind is that need is the mother of all invention. Maybe that's not the exact phrase, but I can't help but think that it was the pressure that the codebreakers were under that led them to create these amazing machines. They really had to. There was a strong need. And just looking at this this bomb machine, and we'll actually put a photo of it on the BBC Three Counties Radio Facebook page for you to see as well. This machine was basically, well, 60 years ahead of its time. And even now in 2013, it still looks phenomenal too. Looking at the Enigma challenge today, their code breaking, which of course is what Bletchley Park is most famous for. I'll tell you what I love here. You know how in vogue those Keep Calm posters are? There's various forms of the Keep Calm posters all across Bletchley Park, of course, very much a symbol of the Second World War. Back here in Bletchley Park, I've just met some young school students, because it's all about cracking codes today at Bletchley Park. So William Ramsay School, it's in High Wycombe. They've come to Bletchley to tackle the Enigma for themselves, and very, very studious and concentrating they look too. Hello there, what's your name?
My name's Ben, hello.
Hello Ben, have you cracked the code?
We're working on it. We've got a couple that have come out right, a couple that are looking a bit odd.
Just looking at the machine you're using here, so it's sort of part typewriter, part... how would you describe those wheels there? They almost look slightly sharp there. What are you doing with those?
Well, with those, they've got numbers on which correspond to the 24 letters of the alphabet. You put a code in on that, and then you set it up, type in, and it should give you out the right answer.
The should being the important part. How close are you to getting... Here we go. I'm looking at your sheet here. I can see lots of letters that don't mean any words yet. How close do you reckon you are?
Close. Working on it.
Are you a lover of computers in the modern world?
Yeah, they're getting better as time goes on, so yeah.
So my question to you is how does this feel? It's quite old and quaint, isn't it?
It's interesting. All the maths behind it as well. Really fascinating.
Give me an idea of that, because I was terrible at maths. When you say the maths behind it, what do you think is happening in that wooden box?
Well, considering that each letter there could have millions of different possible letters, trying to get the right one, the system that is used is really interesting.
I think I was reading last night that the codes that the Germans sent had 150 million, million, million possible answers. So if you're only 149 million, million, million possible answers through, you've still got a little way to go yet. How long do you reckon you need before you crack this?
Don't know. We've already got a couple of messages right, but we're working on this one now.
Well, I'm going to be having a go at cracking the code later on as well, which I'm very much looking forward to. Bearing in mind, I'm not very good at maths. I could be here a very, very long time. The legendary Bletchley Park, where in the Second World War, these incredible geniuses of scientists and mathematicians cracked the codes that the Germans were sending to their armies and their generals, and without whom, quite possibly, we would not have won the Second World War. And there's a quote just above me here that says, in the list of the most important names of World War II, Churchill would be number one, and Turing would not be far behind. We'll be talking about Alan Turing later on in this programme. There's a bit of a theme running through today's programme, that of a bygone era, and in keeping with this, we've got a great band that have popped in to spend the afternoon with us. Betty, Dorothy and Gail make up the 1940s vocal trio, the Three Bells. Not really, you're not from the 1940s, are you, Betty?
No, we're young. We're 23-ish.
We wish we were, though. Kind of a little bit, don't we?
Yeah. It was an era that we kind of feel like we should have been born in, so, yeah.
Well, you're all from our patch, all from the Three Counties patch. You popped into my studio last about 6 months ago, yeah. When you were pretty early days there. What's been happening since?
Well, we popped in because we were doing a show called Sing Sing Sing, and that was in Chesham, and that went really well. Since then, we took it to Sevenoaks, Portsmouth, Cornwall, and it's been sold out every time, so it's been going really well, yeah.
We received a text, actually, I don't know if it was from one of your boyfriends, or that says they shouldn't be called the Three Bells, they should be called the Three Babes.
Oh, well, Gail has a secret admirer.
I do, actually. Maybe it's from my admirer. Ooh. If you're out there, hello.
Well, the Three Bells are going to sing for us. What are you going to sing for us, Dorothy?
We're going to sing Boogie Boogie Bugle Boy, our favourite.
Yeah, the wonderful thing is that even your names are quite sort of 1950s. Dorothy, are they your real names?
No.
Oh, you've spoilt it now. Okay, remind me what you're going to sing.
Boogie Boogie Bugle Boy.
I'm pleased you said that, because I'm not even going to try and say that. And do you know what? We're also on camera here, because there's a live Skype link between Bletchley Park and the Excel Centre, where they're setting the codes for the Enigma Challenge. So you're actually going to be live to the Excel Centre in London as well. This is the Three Bells and Boogie Boogie Bugle Boy. When you're ready.
He was a famous jumping man from out Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was a top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with a draft. He's in the army now. a blonde Reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle bar company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. They really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cab went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays Reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle bar company B. A toot. A tootly, a tootly. He goes in to the bar, a boogie rhythm. He can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar is playing with him. He makes the company jump when he plays Reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle bar company B.
He was a boogie woogie bugle bar company B.
And when he plays boogie woogie bugle, he was busy as a buzz bee. And when he plays, he makes the company jump to the bar. He's a boogie woogie bugle bar company bee.
Toot 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 tootly a tootly a toot
toot. He blows a note to the bar. He can't blow a note if the bass and guitars are with him.
And the company jumps when he plays Reveille.
He's a boogie woogie bugle bar company bee. He puts the boys to sleep with boogie every night and wakes them up the same way in the early bright. They clap their hands and step their feet because they know how he plays. And someone gives him a beat. He really shakes it up when he plays Reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle bar company bee. Da 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 da. Da 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 do da, and the company jumps when he plays Reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle bar company B.
There's the best part of 50 people in this room. People were clapping along and bopping along. And could there have been more appropriate music to be playing here at Bletchley Park in front of the touring bomb decoder as well? You're going to sing more for us later on in the programme, aren't you?
Yes, we are. Yeah, very excited.
I'm Nick Coffer with you until 3 o'clock today, and as it's Friday, generally that means that I go out and about, and today we're in a very, very important part of the Three Counties. We're at Bletchley Park, which was very, very central to the war effort. It's here that they cracked the codes. I'm just walking through the museum, actually, and looking at all the information here about Alan Turing. It just reminds me that although we clearly owe all of the code breakers a huge debt for the work they did during the Second World War, we also owe them a huge debt for our day-to-day lives now, because Alan Turing is widely considered to be the father of the modern computer. So if you're listening to me live right now via the computers, we owe a real debt to these brilliant mathematicians. And someone like Alan Turing, who was not only a brilliant intellect, but he was also a great sportsman as well. He was a marathon runner and a rower as well at King's College in Cambridge. These are remarkable people in our history, and in a way Bletchley Park is kind of my perfect place, because if you listen to my program regularly, you'll know that I love my history and I love my local history as well, and we really do have a key historic site right in the heart of the Three Counties. What better time to find out a bit more detail about future plans for the place, and what better person than CEO Ian Standen, who joins me now, and we are standing in the museum part of Bletchley Park. Ian, how long have you been here? Not literally here today. How long have you been here at Bletchley Park?
Hi, yeah, I've been in Bletchley Park for just over a year now. I took over in January last year, and it's been a fantastic year. Lots to be done and lots still to do.
Talk me through a little bit. If we walk our way down the corridor here, where are we? This is, in effect, one of the main museum rooms at the park, isn't it?
Absolutely. This is Block B. This is the main museum telling the story of what goes on here. So the left-hand side here, you've got this collection of Enigma machines. So if you're excited about crypto machines, this is the place to come and we've also got stories about how they work and how they were broken. We talk about the Y stations, where the intercepts were made. And, of course, we just passed the Alan Turing exhibition behind us.
I'm not being very subtle here, because I'm deliberately walking to the end of the room because I can see some machines that I want to be getting my hand on down there. Just tell me what they do.
Right, down the end there, that's our evocation of a Y station. So that's radios that will be sat there with ladies operating them, intercepting the German Morse code, and then taking from there back to Bletchley Park, where they break it.
Exciting times for Bletchley Park. It's easy to forget that barely a decade ago this place was falling into great ruin and quite possibly was going to be lost to our heritage forever.
Absolutely. I mean, my predecessor turned the place around, got the books balanced, and then I was lucky enough to arrive a year ago and take over a going concern, which we're now moving forward. We've got £7.5 million of funding, partly from the lottery and partly raised ourselves, and we now start this spring on a major programme. We're going to turn the Block C by the entrance into a new visitor centre. We're going to restore some of the iconic wooden huts, which anybody in the local area will know are falling down, covered in tarpaulins at the moment. We're going to get those back in occupation, and very importantly, take the centre of the park back to the 1940s. So when you come here, you'll feel like you were back in the time when the Codebreaker was occupying the site.
It is a wonderful site, and I've been very excited to be coming here, I have to say, because we hear so much about Bletchley Park, and it's the kind of site that it's only when you actually arrive that you get a real sense of the history, a real sense of the spiritual history as well.
Yeah, it's a place that has a sense of place. You stand where these people were doing these fantastic jobs, people who were brought in here for their brain power and worked on these incredible feats while they were here, but also, of course, had this level parkland in which they were working. So when they were finishing in these horrid huts where they're working, they could go out for their lunch break or for their tea break and sit in a park looking at the lake, or in the winter, of course, skating on it. So it's a great sort of juxtaposition between rudimentary working conditions and lovely parkland.
One of the things I loved reading up on Bletchley Park last night was the story behind how local people formed a committee hoping to maintain it. They had a party, they had an event here to celebrate an anniversary, and were astonished at the turnout. Best part of 300 or 400 veterans came along, and then they thought, do you know what? This is actually more than we realise, bigger than we realise. And the reason it intrigued me is because we often hear of local campaigns on a number of issues, even on a very small level in a tiny local village, and sometimes you may think to yourself, is it worth it? And in many ways, Bletchley is an example to anyone across the three counties that if they believe in a cause and if they want to keep something, you need to get together to do so.
Absolutely, yeah. Action by individuals gets things moving on, and yes, some of those people are still alive today and still part of our team here and our volunteer team. And their actions in terms of sort of the garland intrigue they employed in the early days of TPOs on trees and listing buildings meant that the place was saved, stopped being bulldozed. But of course, we've moved on from that now. We've now got all this money, so we can actually now take the thing to the next stage, become a professional organisation with a world class offering, and hopefully in sort of within the next 10 years, we'll be a world-class heritage site that people from all over the world will continue to come to.
Will you ever get to the end?
I can't see the end at the moment. There's certainly light at the end of the tunnel, but not at the end at the moment. There's just so much more to do. I said it's £7.5 million we're spending at the moment, but for the rest of it, it could be two or three times that to get there. So a long way to go yet, but come back in sort of June next year and you'll see a significant enhancement to the site.
In simple terms, Ian, if someone's listening to this in the three counties, they don't happen to be nearby, say they're in South Bucks or East Hertfordshire, why should they come to Bletchley Park?
Because the work that people did in here during the war probably helped shorten the war by 2 years. So it's a huge contribution to shortening the Second World War. And secondly, the DNA of the information age starts here. With the advent of the Colossus computers and those sort of things, it started off what is now a world which we know, where every time we reach for our phones and our iPads, the DNA of that traces back to here.
I've said it before, I'll say it again, it is easy to forget, all this is right on our patch in the three counties, in the heart of the three counties at Bletchley. Ian, you've got a massive job ahead of you, you've already done a massive job. I wish you all the very best in turning Bletchley into the world-class tourist attraction that it already is and certainly deserves to be.
Great, thanks very much.
Ian Standen, the CEO of Bletchley Park, who are very warmly welcoming us today. I'm going to be doing some code breaking myself. The Turing bomb machine is turning as we speak. I'm having to speak loudly because it does turn very, very loudly indeed. I have in my hand a form here. It's a red form, which is exactly the kind of form that they used back in the late 30s and early 1940s here at Bletchley Park. And there is a code on it. I'm going to be challenging the students who are by the machines to my right here to crack this code. I'm going to give it to you, but of course you've got no chance of cracking it. It's CDEWNHKFVNOXTTELRPR. And apparently it has something to do with me. Whether that means that, I don't know, I'm going to be fighting on the Western Front later on, who knows? But I'm going to see if the very, very clever students, the much cleverer students than me from the Sir William Ramsay School, they're based in High Wycombe, looking petrified. But don't worry, all I'm going to do is ask you to crack this really, really difficult code. I've got Abby, and what's your name?
Melissa.
Hello, Abby and Melissa. Have you actually cracked any code so far?
We have, yeah.
So you've got the hang of this. So this is going to be really, really easy. Now, I've got the red form here. It's more pink than red, isn't it?
Yeah.
The code says CDEWNHKFVNOXTTELPRPR. It's easy.
Okay, we'll give it a go.
What are you actually going to do to try and crack it?
We're going to put in the first three digits, and it's going to give us a code so we can work the rest of it out.
How long do you reckon you're going to need here? About 2 seconds?
Maybe a little bit longer.
Do you reckon if I come back to you in about, 15 minutes, you might have it done?
Yeah, we should do.
The thing is, I'm quite worried because the code has actually been created by my colleague Gareth Lloyd, who has a sense of humour, okay? And he says it's related to me. Now, it could be something as boring as Nick Coffer on BBC Three Counties Radio, but he could also be having a laugh at my expense, Melissa. So will you give it to me before we give it out live on air?
Yeah, of course.
Now, just to add to the pressure, we're going to stopwatch this to see how long it takes you to crack. So, Abby and Melissa from the Sir William Ramsay School, based in High Wycombe, the button is going on now. Have you done it yet?
No.
We'll come back and check on you in about a quarter of an hour. I dread to think what code Gareth Lloyd has set up for them to crack. They've broken my code over there, so I'm going to just make my way across to the code. Do you know what? I thought it would be a quarter of an hour, but my very, very intelligent students from the Sir William Ramsay School, 2 minutes and 6 seconds, 0.1, Abby and Melissa. Wow, first of all. Now, have you cheated?
No.
Okay. What is the code?
Hello, Nick, on BBC Radio.
That's it. That's me. How did you crack it so quickly? Did he whisper it in your ear?
No, I don't know, it was quite easy to do.
Do you think that that fiend, Gareth Lloyd, didn't make it as difficult as he could have?
Not really. It's just teamwork, really.
And you've basically got the hang of this now, haven't you? You're now into your third or fourth code. You could actually do this for a living.
We could do.
I'm just moving across the museum here. Someone who has a sticker that says you're a heritage visitor, what does that mean?
I think we're just having a look around for the day.
What brought you to Bletchley Park?
We're just down here for a week and we thought it'd be quite a good thing to do. And I remember my mum read the book by Sinclair McKay a couple of months ago and she raved about it. So I thought, yeah, why not? And I'm partway reading the book at the minute.
Does Bletchley Park really bring it to life for you?
Definitely. It's really exciting. We've only just seen this room, but I love the machine. I just wish we could have a go ourselves at code breaking. It looks really exciting.
So I'm just wiping the smug look off my face because I've been playing with that machine today.
I heard some clapping earlier, so I guess it was you maybe cracking it.
I couldn't possibly take full credit for that. It was actually some students from a local school. But when I first saw the bomb machine there turn on about an hour and a half ago, I thought it was a thing of some beauty. Did you get the same sense of it?
Definitely. I think it's... Because it's more mechanical, isn't it, than electrical. And in today's world, everything's a bit... You know, you don't see... the parts moving, and then when you turn it on, you think, yeah, there's lots of symmetry, and it's all kind of, I suppose, based on mass, isn't it, and circles and probabilities and things. So yeah, definitely.
Symmetry was the exact same word that I used when I saw it wearing. Where are you from originally?
From Manchester.
And you're down here for a week?
Yeah, down here for a week, yep.
Taking any other parts of Buckinghamshire, Bedfordshire, while you're down here?
We've done absolutely loads. So we went to Harry Potter World yesterday. We've been to the Roald Dahl Museum. We've been to Rothschild Museum. We've been to London. We've been to see Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Aylesbury.
What a wonderful trip. And also, sometimes you need to talk to someone who's from outside of our three counties area. I should tell you, this is BBC Three Counties Radio, so we cover Bedfordshire, Hertfordshire and Buckinghamshire. And sometimes, only when you talk to someone who's from outside, that you realise what a rich region it is in terms of things to do and historical sites and entertainment as well. It's a great part of the country.
I think so. I've never really been down this end of the country before, and it's gorgeous. Like, I love all the countryside, and yeah, all the things to do. It's really, really good, actually. It's a bit like... been on a proper holiday because there's so many things to do and see, so I feel like a massive tourist, but it's exciting.
Thanks for listening. Why not follow our channel on Audioboo, where you can also subscribe to the RSS feed, or you can subscribe to us in iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter, where we're at @BParkPodcast, or join the Bletchley Park Facebook group. So a huge thank you goes to the BBC Three Counties OB team, Emma Smith and Gareth Lloyd, Nick Coffer, of course, the Bomb Rebuild team, and the Three Bells. And of course, we must thank Audioboo, who make this podcast possible.